Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this third day of February 2025. I am absolutely thrilled to have a frequently returning guest on the program today, an old friend of mine that should be no stranger to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. That is Jerry Johnson, who is a world-renowned Reformed Christian apologist, a documentarian, and he is most well-known for writing and co-producing the documentary Amazing Grace, the History and Theology of Calvinism. And today, Jerry just wanted to have an open conversation with me where we addressed multiple topics, and that actually gives the listener the opportunity to send in a question on any issue they would like to ask. So our email address, if you'd like to do that, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen @gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back once again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jerry Johnson.
Thank you, brother. Good to be here. I would ask you, how was your Christmas? But you were in the hospital, weren't you?
Yeah, thanks for bringing up that depressing memory. Yes.
Hey, I've been there, brother. I was in there for 45 days.
Wow.
And I hated every minute of it.
I believe it. Well, I have to constantly remind myself that there are people on this planet who have a lot more difficult time in life than I do. And that was really nothing. It's not like I was having major surgery or anything. But I was in the hospital for 7 days, and I did spend Christmas Day also in the hospital. But I did have also some wonderful Christian friends visit me. And I'm glad that I'm out of there, especially because the food was so horrendous. But I can tell you that the nurses were all absolutely delightful and kind and patient and patient with the patient. Excuse me. I was in there just... For those of you who don't know, I had, and I guess I still have to some level, congestive heart failure, but my condition is getting better every day through the medication I'm taking, I'm assuming, and I don't even really feel like I have anything as serious as that right now as far as symptoms go, but... I will keep you updated. In fact, continue to pray for me, please, as I do have a blood clot in my heart and in my lung, and the medication I'm taking is supposed to dissolve those. It may take up to 5 months, they told me. It could take less, could take more, but once I find out the diagnosis on that, when they are finally dissolved, I will let you know.
Hey, brother, I don't know if you could believe this, But coming up this Friday, it'll be 6 years since I had the stroke.
Wow, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, time goes by fast when you're not having fun.
Yeah, right. Well, you wanted to have an open conversation today, which is basically the same thing that we did a couple of times, at least in the past, with a different title. We called it Uncle Jerry's Hodgepodge Lodge. But this is basically the same thing, an open conversation. And why don't you start off the conversation with one of the issues that you had in your mind when we arranged this interview.
All right, brother, I wrote something that I think people really need to think well upon. And you see this in a lot of your dispensational Arminian Baptist churches, but you see it all across Christendom. And I wrote this, I'm going to quote it for you. If one reads the Old Testament, one quickly realizes that idolatry always tripped up Old Testament Israel. Now, I don't think anybody can dispute that. Whenever Old Testament Israel got involved in idolatry, Israel went down the wrong path, and they started doing things like sacrificing their children to different idols. They, even if they, hold on, I'm sorry.
While you're looking at whatever you're looking at, they even did so when they were eyewitnesses to God dramatically manifesting himself on this earth in all kinds of miraculous ways, and they still wound up abandoning him and doing their own thing.
Right. Brother, just an offshoot here. People can think about this, but when you think about the time that Moses went up to Mount Sinai and Jacob stood at the foot of the mountain, Joshua stood at the foot of the mountain, and they came down, and the children of Israel had made this idol, and they were having a worship service. Sounded like a crazy worship service, you know?
Right.
And Joshua immediately said, it sounds like war. I always think about that with some of these charismatic worship services. It sounded like war. That's what he thought.
And, interesting.
Well, so anyway, just for people to think about that. But this is one thing, it kind of bothers me, because I watch, when I work out in the morning, I do the treadmill. You see it behind me. There it is. And even when I'm in the afternoon, when I'm working out with weights, I usually listen to a sermon or something. And a lot of these videos are really good, but what they'll do is they will have images of some hippie that they identify as Jesus. And he's a, you know, white Anglo-Saxon European, and he has blonde hair and blue eyes. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, how are we not doing the same thing in the church today? We have idols all over the place. And, you know, knowing that that tripped up Old Testament Israel, we've left the Church of Rome. And one of the things that the reformers, especially Calvin, that he railed against, if you read his institutes, he talks about the idolatry. And, you know, here we are. We have pictures of some hippie up in church. I remember one time, Tracy and I, we were with the kids and we went on vacation. And after the call to worship, the youth group was selling T-shirts because they were going to go to some thing. I don't know, remember even what it was. This was like 20 years ago. And one of the T-shirts they had was a hippie in a gown flying through the air with a basketball in his hand. And underneath it, you know, how it would say Air Jordan. It said Air Jesus. And they were selling that T-shirt. And I thought, that is gross. I can't believe that they're taking the Lord. I mean, when John saw a vision of the risen Lord, he fell down at his feet as dead. And here we are trivializing it.
Right. And, even if there was no picture of Jesus on that, what did you say? It was a T-shirt?
Yeah.
Even if Jesus, if there was no drawing or artwork depicting Jesus on the shirt, the slogan itself is blasphemous, and there are many, T-shirts and bumper stickers over the last, I don't know how many decades they've been doing this, but you still see them like, "This blood's for you," instead of Budweiser, and you know, you could go on and on and on with things like that that are on different levels of being extremely distasteful. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've been in churches before where they have, again, some hippie with long hair and maybe a beard hanging on the wall, a picture of him, a painted picture, and they call that Jesus. And I'm sorry, it's not Jesus.
Now, I'm assuming by your, I kind of can tell the root of your disagreement is really the second commandment that you.
Yeah.
Now, because today, I don't know how long this has been going on, but let's say within the past 10 years. People who have done movies, TV specials, and, right. and other things depicting Jesus have wised up to the fact that the paintings that we've seen in the Renaissance, which have been duplicated as far as the way Jesus looks all the way up through the 21st century, that just as you were mentioning, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, handsome Jesus. We remember the Bible says that there was nothing comely about him, that men might be drawn to him. So, so we know from the Bible that he wasn't handsome, especially not stunningly Hollywood handsome. But lately they've been at least making him look Semitic, like an Israelite, and they typically have shortened his hair. Not that it's necessarily short hair, but it's not as long as it used to be in the image.
Yeah,
now, does that bother you just as much?
Yes, it does. Because what I would say, what I tell people, if God wanted us to know what Christ looked like, he would have had digital cameras or at least Polaroids invented in the first century. But you're right. You're quoting Isaiah 53:2, which reads, and I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. And, you know, The thing is, these older images, or the one that's the most popular that has him looking like a lily white boy, you said it, he was probably resembled his mother, and his mother was Semitic. So I'm sorry, Semitic can be any type of Middle Eastern, and he definitely wasn't a white European. But, you know, years ago, when I took psychology, I think it was, the professor was talking about, and he wasn't talking about Christianity, he was talking about really any type of religion, how eventually the gods that they depicted ended up looking like them. Mm-hmm. And so if you go back, the first time you see Christ depicted with a beard, or the image that is supposedly Christ, was around the 4th century.
Now, would it have not been very logical that he had a beard since he was a Jewish male?
I mean, more than likely, yes. But that was the first time they depicted him with a beard.
Okay.
All right. I've done a little bit of research, and I would encourage other people maybe to research this more than I have. But you've got, I mean, anywhere from the second to the sixth century, depending on who you read, late second century all the way up to the sixth, they will debate images of Christ, supposedly of Christ. And my one thing is, if you look at the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is on water under the earth. And so it excludes everything. You can't make a graven image. This is just totally preposterous. And I'm sitting there reading the Old Testament, and I'm thinking, how in the world can the professing Protestant Reformed Church, and I'm not sure Reformed people are doing it, maybe they are.
Oh, yeah, R.C. Sproul, which I'm assuming it's still there at the St. Andrew's Chapel, had a giant painting of Jesus's face right there in the narthex or the hallway, or not the hallway, the lobby of the church. As soon as you walk into the church building, it's there, and it's giant. I'm talking, unless my memory is faulty, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 foot tall or something like that. But
you saying that really surprises me.
He had more of a Lutheran view of these things, and the Lutherans.
And I've read Luther's view, and I love Luther, but Luther was wrong,
Right.
In my view.
Now, let me just go back to the very wording of the commandment. Now, this may make you mad at me, but I have not been. In fact, I don't recall ever having been radically opposed to images of Jesus in books and things like that, you know, illustrated books, because the commandment, in my opinion, is specifically referring to bowing down.
I got to confess, that's something that I have, but because I've had that question before.
Because if you took the commandment in a very strict literal sense, you would not have a painting of anything on your wall, a bird, a fish,
a picture of your wife in your wallet.
Right.
You know?
Right. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons the Amish don't. I think that they're misinterpreting that to a hyper iconoclast degree, but I don't look down upon or cause problems with my brethren who disagree with me on that. In fact, the very church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, they have your view.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is, I don't believe that means an image of your wife or your children,
right,
or anything like that, or your house. But I do believe there is an action there that you're not to bow down, because it does
right.
go on to say, thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, here's something that the reason people ought to think about this well. Visiting the iniquities. See, the visiting the iniquities is tied on with images that you're worshiping. Now, the only thing I would say is, if you see the most popular picture that's out there and you have that image in your mind when you're praying or something, are you not therefore committing idolatry? So that's the only thing I would say. What if you're thinking about that? What if you're drawing that mental picture in your head? I saw this picture in such and such a book, and that's who I'm praying to. How is that not mental idolatry?
Yeah.
Once you say that, it's kind of hard not to, you know, to unsee it.
Yeah, to further clarify my view, and by the way, it's not like a rigid view. I'm very teachable on this. But I do not believe that we should have images of Jesus in the same worship area where people are conducting their worship services, because mainly of the fact that many religions that, like the Roman Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodoxy, that have these images of Jesus, whether it be paintings or three-dimensional statues or icons like the Eastern Orthodox have that are less than three-dimensional. People who are members of those religions do worship those images. Now, they say that they don't. They say that they only venerate them, but there's no difference. There's no difference in...
I would agree.
Right. So I'm not a fan of that. I don't like paintings of Jesus that make him look like a Swede or a black man either, because, you know, he wasn't from Africa. He was from Israel. Or if I saw one where he looked Chinese or something, I wouldn't be in favor of that either. I'm just saying that I'm just less radically opposed to that idea of, like, in a children's book, even, or I have myself, although it's been a while since I've done it, I have set up nativity scenes in my home with the little tiny statues of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, and I've never, and for even a split second, venerated that little tiny statue of Jesus in the manger. But anyway, that's just where I'm coming from.
Let me quote to you the larger catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith. I'm sorry, the smaller catechism. Question number 50. And I'm going to quote to you the answer, because the question is, what is required in the second commandment? The answer is, the second commandment requires the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all religious worship and ordinances as God has appointed. Now, this is what Reformed people call the regulative principle of worship. We only worship God by what he has revealed, not by any suggestion of the flesh or of Satan, but only what his word reveals. And remember, the sons of Aaron, they came up with this, what I tell people, it was a new and exciting way to worship God. They didn't think they were doing anything wrong, but it was a fire. They put a strange fire on the altar that God had not commanded them.
Yes, I have often wanted to put a sign in Roman Catholic churches where they light the candles with the saint statue above the candles. I've always wanted to sneak into Catholic churches and put a sign below the candles that said, in loving memory of Nadab and Abihu. I've never done it, but I've always wanted to.
Yeah, I that is just one thing I do not understand, is how the Roman Catholic Church can have all these images. But the Protestant Church, at least today, is doing the same thing.
By the way, before I forget, you might really enjoy, and so may our listeners, and you may learn from a debate that I organized. I can't remember how long ago it was. It was probably 20 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. I organized a debate between James White and Roman Catholic apologist Patrick Madrid, and the theme was the veneration of Mary, saints, images, and relics. Yeah. And I thought James really clearly won the day.
Is that debate online?
Yes, you can find it on YouTube. Type in right. James White debates Patrick Madrid on venerating images.
All right. Yeah, that would be a good thing to watch, because I went to Catholic school, just to let your readers know. I know they're probably falling over right now, but I can remember we would have necklaces of St. Christopher, and we would have his image on there. I don't know if that was his image, actually, or if that was an actual representation of him, but you had to...
And Vatican II, Vatican II actually came out and said he didn't exist.
Yeah, I heard that. They did away with that now. But St. Christopher was supposed to be the patron saint of travelers,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
So let me read to you the Westminster Confession of Faith, Shorter Catechism, question number 51. What is forbidden in the second commandment?
Okay.
The second commandment forbids the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in his word.
Right.
And could you possibly do like you were talking about? See, that's the only thing I have. Could movies or documentaries or anything like that, I will let you know, there are some images in Amazing Grace. Now, I wasn't the editor of it. I was the writer, and I opposed using images in there. But as time went on, they started doing that. But I asked them, you know, because we know Christ was a man. We know he had a body. We know he had hands and feet and a head. We don't know anything else. We don't know his facial features. We don't know anything beyond that. So... Oh, wow.
Well, we've got to go to our first commercial break. And if anybody wants to join us with a question for my guest today, Jerry Johnson, world-renowned Reformed Christian apologist and documentarian, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LYNbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Valentine's Day is only 11 days away, but you could still get your Valentine a gorgeous, breathtaking, stunning, head-turning, mind-blowing piece of jewelry at royaldiadem.com. Just go to royaldiadem.com, search through the inventory of jewelry that they have in stock, choose something for your Valentine, and they could have it overnighted to you so you have it in time to give to her, or if you're a lady, giving it to your husband or fiance or whatever, whoever your Valentine is. It could be overnighted so you get it in time. And you could also, for a gift that has more advanced notice, like for Mother's Day, for instance, you could get a custom designed, one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created for mom for Mother's Day. And of course, that mom could be your wife who is a mother, or your daughter who is a mother, or any special woman that you know who is a mother. We have time, since that's not until May, for you to custom design with royaldiadem.com a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry. And one of the reasons that you should do this, if you love this show, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, is because we will get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, whether it's Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or any other day, simply by you mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you make your purchase. We get 100% of the profits, and I am actually interviewing someone today, Jerry Johnson, who did that very thing when he needed a gift for his wife for her birthday. How long ago was that? Was that about a year ago?
No, I think that was 2 years ago, brother. And I will let your listeners know that Royal Diadem saved my butt. Because I always forget Tracy's birthday. Now, just for any men out there listening, you can never go wrong getting jewelry for a woman. You never can. They love it. And what happened was, I realized like probably 5 days before her birthday, I hadn't got her anything. So I called you up and you said, I think, call Brian. And I called Brian, and Brian had his daughter, I believe, her name was Audrey or Aubrey, something like that. And she got on the phone with me and she started sending me images of stuff that I would get. And I found one I liked. I went ahead and ordered it. I went ahead and paid for it. They had it here before her birthday. And her birthday was only 5 days away when I called. But by the time I got done picking what I liked, it was like 3 days. And they got it here in 2 days. So I had it a full day before I gave it to her. And I was the hero that time. So
great.
Yep. So they did a real good job. It was very reasonably priced. And it did kind of make me glad to know that Iron Sharpens Iron got 100% of the profits.
Yes, we did. And it was quite a... a nice financial gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So you must have purchased a very expensive piece of jewelry.
Well, my wife has been with me. We're coming up on our 37th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So she deserves it. She's had to put up with me for 37 years.
Well, folks, go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase, whether it's for Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, a birthday, a wedding anniversary, any special occasion, or if you're just buying something for yourself, go to royaldiadem.com and don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So we're now back with Jerry Johnson before the break during this interview today, which is an open conversation, and you could ask a question on any topic. But we were discussing the second commandment and what would actually be an indication that you have violated that, as many religions do, especially within Christendom, the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. But as Jerry was saying, there are evangelical Protestants who, some of them almost have an identical view of images and worship, with the exception is most don't venerate these images. Anyway, if you want to pick up where you left off.
Yeah, the only thing, I just want people to think well upon it, because they've got these images of a hippie, and a lot of churches don't make those images in your mind when you're praying, and because we don't know what Christ looked like. We don't know if he had a beard. He probably did. We don't know what color his eyes are, though we can guess. But if, like I said earlier, if God would have wanted us to know what Christ looked like, he would have had digital cameras or Polaroids invented in the first century. And he did it. So a lot of these images that have facial features or anything like that, are they not a violation of the second commandment? And are they not what the church was remonstrating against, protesting against? And I think they were.
And to let you folks know, even in the movie created by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, he failed at the biblical test by hiring Jim Caviezel to portray Christ, because Jim Caviezel, although they threw makeup and prosthetics on his face, made him look Semitic. Let's face it, I, even as a heterosexual male, can say Jim Caviezel's a very handsome guy. And that violates the biblical description that we mentioned before, which was in a prophecy of Isaiah, saying that there was nothing comely about him, and it's referring to the Messiah, Jesus. Another, comely, of course, meaning handsome, physically attractive. On top of that, Mel Gibson is a traditionalist Roman Catholic, so he had no qualms about any kind of image, obviously. But anyway, did you want to continue on that topic, or do you have anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, no, brother, I just wanted people to think well upon it. And it really kind of grieves me whenever I see those images, and you've got that hippie, and that's not Christ. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do let me say this. It's been years ago that I read it, but Joe Moorcraft's commentary on the Westminster Confession,
yes,
he really did a good job on that section. So if anybody's got that, go back and read that. Because I do see a lot of churches that do that, that'll make those images, that'll put them in their sanctuaries, that'll venerate them, that'll say that they're Jesus, but we don't know if they're Jesus. I mean, we do know. They're not Jesus.
Yes, and in fact, let me plug Dr. Moorcraft's commentaries, because his church, which is numerically, according, if you're talking about the number of people who are members there, a very small church, but they are one of the largest financial supporters of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to get Dr. Moorcraft's commentary, which is endorsed by Joey Piper, Dr. Joseph Piper, who was the president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, but is now he's on the faculty there. He's just retired from the presidency, but it's been endorsed by him and highly lauded by many esteemed Reformed people. I'm just looking up the commentary website now, but you should get a hold of that. And if you do, please make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so they know that you purchased it by listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The website is westminstercommentary.com. Westminstercommentary.com. And it is an exposition of the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism. And it comes in eight volumes, eight large hardback volumes. But anyway, pick up where you left off there, Jerry. Do you want to move on to another issue?
One thing I do want to also mention, and I don't know if you want me to do this, but Joe has a book on Amazon, How to Worship, or How God Wants Us to Worship Him. And I would consider that a very good book also.
Wow, I don't recall Joe ever mentioning that book to me, and I don't recall seeing that. So I will have to interview him on that, unless my memory is just faulty. I'll have to remind
him. He did it in 2019. Oh, that was the publication date. I don't know what printing it was.
Okay. Well, I will have to bring that up to him the next time we have him on, which should be in the near future, because not only do I love Dr. Moorcraft and interviewing him, but so do a growing number of my listeners.
Yeah, he's a good man. The one thing I always remember about him, we were at a conference together down in Atlanta, and he came walking in, and he was walking like Frankenstein. Now, you know, I'm a big boy. I'm like 6'4". He's taller than me. I think he's 6'6". He looks like a big old teddy bear. And I went up to give him a hug, and he goes, "Don't touch me, don't touch me. I got shingles." And that's what I always remember about him. So I'm sure he's over the shingles. But I had dinner with him at a pastor's house once. And like I said, I just like sitting there talking to him. So
yeah, he's a wonderful brother in Christ.
Yeah.
Well, we now we have to go to our midway break. So let's hold off you bringing up another topic. Until we come back from the midway commercial break. Please use this time wisely, folks, because it's the longer than normal break. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers. We hope that you purchase their products, use their services, or visit their churches as often as you can, and mention Iron Trip and Zion Radio. But when you can do none of those things, at the very least, please contact our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring the show. That, at the very least, should go a long way in convincing our sponsors that their money is well spent, because people are benefiting from this program and have gone out of their way to thank our sponsors. So please do that. But also send in your questions to Jerry Johnson at chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Folks, and I want to remind you again that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of your financial help. If you love this show, you listen to it regularly, you benefit from the guests and topics that I feature on the show, sometimes that are never heard anywhere else. If you love receiving free books when I interview authors and you submit a question, if you just love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones, well, please help us out. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check the old-fashioned way to a physical address from your local post office, well, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, a physical address will also appear on your screen, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you are running, well, whatever the case may be, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign soon, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Also, keep in mind, if you are donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never cut in to the finances that you have set aside for giving to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day, in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, never give your own church less money than you normally give your own church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never do that. And never give to us when it will take food off of your family's dinner table. If you're struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the funds with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money, keep in mind. We're primarily to use that money to provide for our church, where we are a member, and our family. Providing for Iron Trip and Zion Radio is not a command of God, obviously, but if you love this show and you don't want it to go away and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, share some of that money with us if you love the show. Go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, Bible-believing, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where in the world you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live, as I have done with many people all over the globe. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jerry Johnson. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. We also have a listener in Birmingham, Alabama, Maybell. Maybell asks, would you fellowship with a church or worship in a church that disagrees with you on images in the church building?
That's a good question. If they had images in a church building, yes. I mean, I probably would. Now, you're talking about, she didn't make clear if it was in the sanctuary. But if they have images in the church, I don't believe in images. So I think any type of image that they would have would be a violation of the second commandment. So I wouldn't even go there. I might go there one time, and then if I saw it, I'd never go back. Like, they came up to me and said, "Hey, we have images in our church." Then I'd probably never go.
Well, usually an evangelical wouldn't go about it that way.
Yeah, remember this. You said, what was her name, Mabel?
That may be the correct pronunciation. I said Maybell, but maybe it is Mabel.
The thing is, when you look at Old Testament Israel, what always tripped them up was some sort of image. Now, that may not happen immediately, but down the road, who knows what will happen. But the Bible strictly forbids making images.
Now, supposing, to make this question more complicated for you, a church inherits a building from another church, or perhaps is renting that church building from another church, and they have stained glass windows, and there are images of Jesus in some of those stained glass windows, because even Protestant churches sometimes have that. Would that be annoying enough to you to not return to that church?
Yes, I mean, to me it would. Now, if a church inherits a church, like you said, a building. And do remember, the old Puritans used to call it the meeting house.
Right.
They didn't call it the church.
Right.
But let's just say a meeting house had stained glass windows and they had that hippie in it, then they need to bust out those windows.
Obviously, if you're renting the building, though, you can't do that.
No, you can't. But I wouldn't rent it.
No? Okay.
The Bible doesn't say don't make images, but unless you're renting, then it's okay.
Well, if somebody complains about the images depicting Jesus in the stained glass windows, you could just say, no, that's Dan Fogelberg. It's not Jesus.
No, no. I think you meant Dan Fogelberg.
No, I meant Dan Fogelberg, higher than the stars are in the heaven.
You know who sings that song?
Oh, yeah, Dan Fogelberg sings it.
Let him sing it. So you actually sing pretty good. I was going to buy your album, but then I thought, nah.
Well, thank you, Mabel, for the question. And if you're a first-time questioner, please let us know, because if so, you've won a free New American Standard Bible. So just send me your address, and I'll have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, ship that NAS Bible to you. And by the way, we want to thank, from the depths of our hearts here at Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible for renewing their annual contract of advertising with us. In fact, this last time they spent more money with Iron Sharpens Zion Radio than they ever have before. So we thank them so much for their generosity. And for more information on ordering your own NAS Bible, if you're purchasing it for yourself, a gift, or to replace your pew Bibles, pastors and deacons listening, go to nasbible.com, nasbible.com. Let's see. We have Henry in Utica, New York, who asks, what are reasons that you would not join a church that had disagreements with you? Would you ban joining a church, for instance, that disagreed with you on eschatology or the candidates for baptism, whether you are a Baptist or a paedo-Baptist?
When it comes to eschatology, no, because I'm kind of all over the board. The thing is, I can read a historic premillennial work, and I'll say, yeah, that sounds good. That's where I am. And then I'll read an amillennial work, and I'll say, yeah, that's good. That's where I am. And then I'll read a postmillennial work, and I'll say, yeah, that's good. That's where I am. And then the whole thing starts all over. So when it comes to orthodoxy, the one thing I maintain is a visible, physical second coming of Christ. The one thing I would say, if they're dispensational, I'm not going to join them, you know. But I have a lot of disputes with dispensationalists. But when it comes to what I would consider the historic position of the Reformers, you had most of the Westminster divines were amillennial. I have a lot of friends, and I don't know of any divines I would have to think about it that were postmillennial. But a few of them were what we would call premillennial. So I would say on the eschatology, no. But there are some things. I mean, I will let you know, my church practices the Lord's Supper I'm thinking they used to do it every month. I think the new pastor is one that thinks they should do it every weekend, which I agree with. But we don't do it every week in the morning service. But that is not a reason I'm not going to die on that hill. I like it better. But even if it came to baptism, I've been on vacation and I go to Reformed Baptist churches. I hold my nose.
Ah!
Just kidding. Just kidding. But anyway, I've heard a lot of people in Reformed Baptist churches that I thought were really good. I like James White. You know, uh-huh. That's one guy. So if I was in Arizona, I'd probably go to his church. I might throw spitballs at him.
Ah!
And I would go to his church. So
obviously you're joking about that last part.
I'm not totally. I went to a church service a couple of years ago. They were Reformed Baptist. They had more of a contemporary music, and I found that fine, you know. So I don't mind that either.
Yeah, I think it depends. There are obviously, you know, different.
Would I go to an Arminian church? I have before, but usually I'm the one preaching. And so, you know, I go there and I preach and I respect their pulpit. I will not say anything. You know, I've been to Pentecostal churches before, invited to them. And I talk about, whatever the subject is, but I stay off of their view of the gifts. I don't even talk about it.
Yeah, in fact, I can recall when I used to watch your webcast Against the World, excellent webcast of yours, which is no longer recurring with new episodes. But I can recall one of your sponsors was a Seventh-day Baptist church. I have to emphasize the word Baptist.
They were very Reformed.
Yes, that congregation was.
Yeah, they did meet on Saturday. I'll let you know. James White and I did a conference on a cruise ship one time, and a bunch of their people came.
Wow.
And, they were really great people. I disagreed with them about the Saturday Sabbath, but that's not a thing I'm going to, again, die on, you know.
Yes, and I have listeners in my audience who are Seventh-day Baptists, and I emphasize that word because people automatically think you're saying Seventh-day Adventist. But it's Seventh-day Baptist, which a lot of people might not know this, but it's one of the oldest denominations in the United States. And there are congregations in the United States that actually date all the way back to the 1600s that are Seventh-day Baptist. But that's just a trivia area.
Yeah, Chris, let me say this also, because I made a disparaging remark about dispensationalists. I want people to understand, I am not saying that dispensationalists or even Pentecostals are not Christians.
Right.
I do believe it's an in-house discussion. I've met many dispensationalists that I think were more godly than I ever dreamed. And I do believe it's an in-house debate. The thing is, I don't believe that they take their theology to its natural conclusion. And so I would not be a member of a dispensational church. Now, if they asked me to come there and preach on the Lord's Supper, yeah, I would probably take them up on that. But I'm not going to join, and I'm not going to just go to their church for a worship service. So there are hills I will die on. And there are hills I will not die on.
Yeah, I would, if there was no confessional Reformed Baptist church in an area that I moved to, and there was a solid dispensational church, and I use the word solid meaning in other areas outside of its dispensationalism, I would consider joining it and might even join it, depending upon how much the dispensationalism is emphasized. If it's a part of every sermon, which some of these churches make their sermons almost entirely about eschatology and the end times every single week, I couldn't stomach that. But there are dispensationalist churches that are even Calvinistic where that takes a back stage and it's not a dominant thing.
There are charismatic churches that are also Calvinistic. Well,
yes.
There was one, I don't think it's around anymore, but it was called PDI, People of Destiny International.
Yeah, they changed the name. I can't remember. I think it might be the group that changed its name.
The Sovereign Grace or something like that, wasn't it?
Right, yeah, Sovereign Grace Ministries.
Yeah.
And that would also, my joining a church like that, I don't think I could join one that was publicly demonstrating sign gifts in the worship services, because some of these churches don't. The members do those things privately in their homes. I don't think I could handle people doing it next to me and having the pastor do it.
I just had a senior moment. The way I've always approached it is, I know there's a guy that lives down the street from me. He very much believes in the gifts of the Spirit, as he calls them. I have never said anything to him, but one time he asked me, and I gave him an answer. So if somebody doesn't ask me, I'm not just going to run up to them and, you know, blow holes in them, you know. But he's a very godly man. He's a good man. He's got a great dog. The dog comes by and sees us every once in a while. But, yeah, I'm not going to just shoot him down because he believes in the gifts of the Spirit. So, you know, I pick my battles. That is not one, unless they ask me, that I'm going to give them an answer for. But if they ask me, I am. If they say, hey, why don't you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? And I do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm talking about the charismatic gifts, you know, the way they practice them.
Right. And let's see here. We have another listener from Ruble, just like the Russian money. Ruble, who is in Nashville, Tennessee, wants to know, I heard you say just moments ago that you don't mind charismatic music. I'm sorry, I misread that. Contemporary music in a worship service. But isn't that a matter of degree? You can have a worship service that has blaring punk rock music in it that might be considered a contemporary church. Yeah, doesn't it matter the level of noise and sound, and also the melodies that may convey an atmosphere that is not worshipful?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. So, I mean, what they did was they took hymn music and they had it more upbeat, and they had drums and guitars, and I thought it was okay. Now, my church does a very traditional worship. I like that better. I have friends that are exclusive psalmists. I do believe as a church, we've neglected the psalms. We need to sing them more, but I'm not an exclusive psalmist. And I interviewed a guy years ago when I used to have a podcast. His name was Frank Smith. Good guy.
Oh, I know and Frank. I haven't spoken to him in decades. But
no, I haven't either. I haven't either. But
when I knew him, he was pastoring in upstate New York, a little tiny PCA church.
Last time talked with him, he went with the RPCNA. Yes. That's the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America.
Yeah, which more resembles his beliefs.
Yeah, they're exclusive psalmists. And Frank and I did an interview about an hour long. And I told Frank at the beginning, Dr. Smith tried to convince me. And he tried and he failed. I was not convinced, because the one thing that bothers me about the exclusive psalmist is, and I said this to Frank, are you telling me that singing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not found in any of the psalms, is a sin? Because most of your exclusive psalmist believes that singing anything other than the psalms is a sin. And I said, are you telling me it's a sin? And he came back and he said, well, Jesus is mentioned in the Psalms. I said to him, I didn't say mentioned, because I do believe there's a lot of types and shadows. I'm talking about the actual phrase, the Lord right. Jesus Christ. You could say Adonai Yahshua Messiah, or you could say Iesus Christos. I don't care. But you're telling me that that is a sin, and I just can't buy that.
You know, it's interesting, though, because the one time that I visited Frank's church in upstate New York when he was still pastoring the PCA, they did practice in their worship service exclusive psalmody. They did not have hymns sung in the worship service, and they also had strictly a cappella worship. When they had their fellowship time after the worship service, they went downstairs in the basement in the fellowship hall. They had a piano and somebody was playing the piano and they were singing hymns because it wasn't a worship service.
Right.
So just go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Smith had pastored a church in Coburg, Virginia, Coburg Presbyterian Church, and that's what they did. What he did was they would sing two or three hymns before the call to worship. And then once they had the call to worship, they would sing only psalms, you know. By the way, the 1599 Psalter, and I had a friend of mine, or I have a friend of mine, who was really big into singing the psalms. And I was sitting there looking at the psalm book, and I said, do you know every single psalm in this psalm book can be sung to Johnny Cash's tune? Oh, Folsom Prison Blues. And he was like, don't tell me that. Anyway, he thought it was funny.
And those are obviously matters that we can agree to disagree over. It'd be harder for a person who was an exclusive exclusive psalmody person to join a church that had hymns in it. But then the reverse.
I wouldn't have a problem going to that church and even joining. Like I said, I believe the church has neglected the psalms. The one thing you won't get when you're singing the psalms is bad theology. I do think it's very good in that regard, you know. And sometimes I see hymns. I'm thinking of that one. I really love it. But, oh, man, it says, I'm not going to sing it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Feel it? I'm prone to wonder or wander because I know it. Because his word tells me that. It's not because I feel, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, and when you said that you won't get bad.
Now I'm going to be singing that song all day long, the rest of the day.
When you said that you can't get bad theology singing psalms exclusively, you mean in the singing of the psalms, because there are horrible churches that may have exclusive psalmody.
Yeah, I mean, there are. But the one thing, I didn't hear your question, but the one
that was a statement, actually.
Say it again?
That was a statement. I wasn't asking a question. I was basically saying, I was clarifying what you said. I know you agree with me that just because a church sings psalms exclusively doesn't mean that their preaching and teaching otherwise is sound.
Right. But the one thing I would say, if they're singing the psalms, you're not getting bad theology.
In the singing of the psalms.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I see what you're saying now.
Okay. Let's see here. Oh, well, this has to do with something I mentioned earlier. We have, excuse me. We have a Buck in Greensboro, North Carolina, who said, are you ever going to bring Against the World back?
Oh, man, you know, I watch those every blue moon, and I'm sitting there thinking, I wish I'd never ended that. And I say that every time I watch one. But unfortunately, no. I don't know if you could tell right now, in the evening time, it gets hard for me to talk because of my stroke, that it makes me real tired. I'll let you know this, brother, and I love doing your show, so don't stop asking me, all right? But when I know I have to do your show, I take a nap at lunch. I mean, I have to. I don't work out this day because I don't want to get tired. But when we're off the air, I'll go sit in my easy chair, and I don't want anybody to interrupt me, not my wife or my mom or my dogs.
Well, as long as you don't take a nap during the show when I'm interviewing you.
Yeah.
We have to go to our final break right now. And if you have a question, send it in before we run out of time to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's cvbbs.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Welcome back, folks. I also want to remind you that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. My dear friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, has been sponsoring everything that I've set my hand to do ever since I began working for WMCA 570 AM Christian Radio in 1991. And he also was not only my biggest advertiser there, but when I started doing the great debates with Dr. James R. White and Roman Catholic apologists, he was sponsoring those debates every year, which lasted a decade on Long Island. And of course, I've done many other debates. I've arranged many other debates in other venues in different parts of the country featuring Dr. White. But Dan Buttafuoco is always sponsoring everything that I'm doing. And he is one of the sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please, if you love this show, return the favor to Dan. And if you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice, call Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. That's no matter where you live in the United States. So you can call him no matter what state you live in the United States, and he will make sure that you are very wonderfully representative in a court of law. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT or 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. It's very important that you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you contact Dan Buttafuoco. Also, I want to welcome to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which happens to be the church where I am now a member. pastored by Simon O'Manny. If you want more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, visit their website, trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And also, another new advertiser sponsoring this program with an annual advertising contract are our friends at the Federal Credit Union in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, Lebanon Federal Credit Union. If you want more details on this fine institution, go to LebanonFCU.org, LebanonFCU.org. You will be hearing the full-blown 60-second commercials for both of these wonderful sponsors shortly, as soon as we have them available to us. We have, I was just looking at the question. Oh, Toby in Whitehall, Pennsylvania wants to know, I hear you every day when you conduct your broadcast asking for donations and also selling advertising. I am not personally accusing you of this, but how do you respond to people who say that you are violating the teaching in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not? Well, that's very interesting. excuse me. I know people that have used that verse, I believe, incorrectly, obviously, or wouldn't be asking for donations or selling advertising. I've heard people use that to prohibit the selling of books, Christian books, or the selling of Christian DVDs, MP3s, and so on and so on. Even the charging of admission to Bible conferences. I disagree with that, obviously. And even if you look at the entire verse, it says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Obviously, what this verse is saying, and I'll have Jerry Johnson chime in, who actually has some seminary education behind him, which I do not. But I have heard for decades from people who I esteem highly that what this means is, if you possess truth, you're not to release it from your possession. In other words, it's really saying, don't be a sellout. Don't abandon the truth for money or gain of any kind. And that is not what happens when you raise money on a radio show and podcast, or sell advertising, or sell books. But anyway, Jerry, you want to chime in?
Yeah, you know, brother, I don't know if I'm going to comment on that direct passage, but I will say this, because I got that question one time on the Amazing Grace documentary, and I told him, hey, if somebody comes up to me and ask me why I believe this stuff, I'm going to tell them free of charge. If they want to get it in a digital format, we had to fly all over the country. We had to, do the interviews, stay in hotels, drive. The guy that was filming the interviews had to be paid. We had to do a lot of stuff that cost money. And so we asked people, to support this. And when it was done, the costs weren't done because it cost us money to get the DVDs made. I will tell you, we did not sell them for an exorbitant price. We had the DVD, Amazing Grace, at $29.95. And we did flat rate shipping. Somebody could order 100, and we did shipping at $5.95. We ate the cost of that. It costs more than $5.95 to ship it. So, you know, it's something like that. I don't charge admission if people want to come and talk to me. And by the way, that leads me into something. I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas next year at the, or this year at the Southern Baptist Convention. That is June 11th, 8th through the 11th. Now, just to let you know, I work in an industry that is going to cause us to be there. So if somebody is listening that's a member of the Southern Baptist Church, and they plan on being there, come on by our booth.
Oh, that's for your sign business.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, obviously, another thing to add in there as far as Zion Sharpens Iron is concerned, donating to my show and advertising on my show is optional. I don't require it for people to listen to the show. But at the same time, I fully support publishers and people who sell things that are Christian in nature, and I don't think that they are for a second violating this text. I do know ministries that will only give away for free Christian books and literature, like First Love Ministries, who live stream this program. They have a First Love publishing ministry, and they only give away everything that they publish. But they do not believe that every publisher is somehow committing some horrible sin by selling the books. So I think it's clearly to be exegeted that we are not to let go of the possession of truth, especially because of financial gain, like many people who know that they would lose their job if they continue being public with their Christianity.
Hey, brother, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or anything. When I did, you said the sign business. I worked for a sign company and left that company to do Nicene Council. I took a 50% pay cut. And I'm not saying it was easy. I mean, a lot of times it wasn't. But I so believed in the Reformed faith that I wanted to get out there, but my family still needed to live. They still needed to eat. They still needed a warm place. So.
Right. And another thing that you could add to this is if you are buying the truth, as the text says, and to sell the truth, meaning selling a Christian book, is sin, then you are perpetuating the sin of the person selling the truth if you're buying it. So that's just another thing to throw in there.
Yeah, I mean, you are. But you think of like Bible translations. A lot has to go into that. Then the printing has to go into that. Then the distribution has to go into that, you know? So I would love for them to tell me what they are going to do. I knew a guy that was translating a whole bunch of books in the Bulgarian. He sat at his computer and did it every single day, you know?
Oh, and by the way, it would also prohibit pastors from receiving a salary. Now, I know that there are ministries and churches that do believe that a pastor should not be paid. I am not one of them. But that would also, in this case, prohibit that if you were going to take it in a wooden, literal sense. But by the way, Toby in Greensboro, North Carolina, if you are a first-time questioner, let me know, because you have also won a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will ship it out to you. And also compliments of the publishers of the NASB, one of our largest advertisers, nasbible.com, nasbible.com. And I perhaps failed to mention this earlier, I want to thank them for renewing their sponsorship of this program. But you have about 5 minutes now, Jerry, to summarize anything that you want most to be etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
the one thing I would say to go back to the original thesis is in our culture, in our churches, Reformed Protestant churches, we have fallen into the trap of one of the reasons that we left Rome. And we venerate these images and we say they're Jesus. They're really nothing more than a hippie with a beard. And if God would have wanted us to know what Christ looked like, he would have, like I said, had digital cameras or Polaroids in the first century. We don't. We don't know what he looked like, and we don't want to know what he looked like.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Before we go, I want to remind our listeners that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio does need your financial support, folks. So if you really love the show, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card if you prefer snail mail. There will also be a physical address that appears on your screen where you can click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, and you'll see the physical address where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to remind my listeners, continue to pray for my sister Mary in West Babylon, Long Island. She requires very serious surgery that will involve either the amputation of a part of her right foot or her entire leg going all the way up to above the knee. She has a circulatory problem that has caused this. She's not diabetic, but she has a serious circulatory problem that is preventing the healing of a wound on her foot. And these are the options the doctors have given her so far. Please pray for her. Pray for the doctors. Pray for God to do something, whether miraculously or medically, that would alleviate or remove the need for this level of surgery. But if she needs to get the surgery, please let her have nothing but the most skillful surgeons involved in it. Also, please pray for her mentally and emotionally, and much more than either of those things, spiritually. Please pray that she is drawn closer to Jesus Christ than she ever has been before. Last but not least, I want to plug my show tomorrow. I've got Pastor Austin Huggins, who is the new addition to the pastoral team at Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida, the home of Chapel Library. He's going to be joined by Edward Delcor. Both of these men are also on the staff of First Love Ministries that I mentioned earlier, the ministry that live streams this show every day. They are going to be on the program, and they'll be discussing a Bible conference coming up later this month. So I hope you tune in. And I will let you know tonight through social media the topic that we will be addressing and so on. So I hope that you tune in tomorrow. I want to thank you all again for praying for me and my health. As you, most of you know, I have congestive heart failure and I have blood clots in my heart and lung. Pray that they are dissolved and that I continue to improve in my health. I apologize that I've been coughing occasionally during this interview and sometimes am muting the microphone, which creates pauses of silence. But please continue to pray for me and that I have a clean bill of health soon. I want to thank all of you who have been, the hundreds and hundreds of you who have been contacting me primarily through social media and email and text, telling me, reassuring me that you are praying for me. You'll never know how much that means to me. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.